Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning to you. I am endlessly amazed that after 165 shows, there is always something new and fascinating to talk about. Today, a subject close to all of you, close to your bellies. We're going to do a show on fat today. But I'm amazed by this show because, as always, there's something new. We're going to talk about not the fat on your belly, not the fat on your arms, not the fat on your buttocks, not the fat on your face. We're going to talk about the real dangerous fat, the fat that was placed there in an evolutionary sense for a darn good reason, but in this modern techno-industrial environment ends up being the dangerous fat, the toxic fat, the fat that kills you, not the fat you can put your hands on, not the fat you see, not the fat you even care about, right? You care about the fat that ruins the bikini. You care about the fat that spreads the waistline. This is the fat. It's called the visceral fat. Visceral means organ. The organ fat. In the next 60 minutes, I'm going to lay out an argument, backed, as always, by lots of literature, lots of hard scientists, lots of hard science, pointing you in the correct direction. And that correct direction is to your organ systems and the fat encasing the organ system. Every organ, even if you're 30 pounds overweight, even if you don't have belly fat, even if you're not fat, everybody's got organ fat. Now, way back when, organ fat was put there for a darn good reason. Organ fat is an insulation to organs that, in a state of relative starvation, in a state of want, in a state where you might eat 2 to 3 times a week, why would the body put fat on your belly, on your arms, and on your legs when it could encase the organ in nice, clean, raw, healthy, organic, fertile, Garden of Eden-style fat so that if you did go through some sort of a starvation phase, the temperature of the organ in the cold, frigid winter would remain stable and you could have your function, your organ function would be protected because you were insulated by this layer. If you ran out of glucose because you were starving or because there was want and famine, if you couldn't get that meal in, you had this supply of fat to convert to sugar to feed the cell. And it didn't have to travel too far because it was right there. We could work a process whereby the cell could be warmed so that you could increase thermogenesis, the heat within the organ, so the cell could function under the stress of cold from the external. So the body had this whole thing planned out. Then we did something. We didn't mean to do it, but we did it. What we did is we put a layer of poison into the body. We put poison into the environment. And that poison, as it turns out, that poison concentrates in the visceral fat. Now, we did a show alluding to this last week. If you get to the website, and of course you're on the website now, that's straighttalk.cc. If you're driving, of course you can't. When you get home, get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com.cc. I am Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health, and here we are once again pulling something out that's right in front of our face. But where is the message to you? Meaning, I'll show it to you. You can be slender and have more organ fat than you can afford to have. You can be 30 pounds of blubber on your body and very potentially minimizing your organ fat. Really, skinny people can be fat, and fat people can be okay. Now, there's a point where that's not true. I mean, if you're 100 pounds overweight, you're going to build the fat on your outside, and you're going to build the fat in the organs. But to the surprise, dismay, fascination of medicine are people who are not fat. You know, 10 pounds, 15, nothing you'd even call close to obese, and they're getting sick. They're getting atherosclerosis, and they're getting cancer, and all these studies between how all these diseases go up in percentage because you're overweight, because you're more than 30% body fat, and that means you're obese. We've got lots of skinny people getting sick. By the end of the show, you're going to know why and where and who are telling you this. Nobody. For some reason, this has eluded us. We didn't even have to dig this out of the dust-covered archives of the 1900s. Nope, this is everywhere. But are we putting it together? I don't think so. This is a shaker. Get to the website. We've got a bunch of articles to look at today. You've got click to view the few article, toxins released in fat, thin people can be fat on the inside, chemical toxins in your fat, and I've got other articles on the squares. Take a look. Important. All right, picture number 7. Get to picture number 7. I showed you this one last week. Again, if you're not that computer literate, press the control button and the plus button and enlarge the picture. The picture will enlarge. Don't say you can't see it. Don't be squinting. Don't get a headache. Simply learn to use your computer. Not obvious to everybody. There it is. These are the poisons that bioaccumulate in the fat. Are these the only poisons? No, they're not. What fat is this? Okay, touch your belly, touch your arms, touch your buttocks, touch your legs. Are we talking about that fat? Yes. But what about the fat around your heart? What about the fat around your kidney? What about the fat in your liver? What about the fat, which is your brain? What about your bone marrow? The amount of these poisons in those places concentrates many times over the fat you can touch, meaning the subcutaneous fat. The subcutaneous fat is nothing next to the fat that's in your organs. So that's the first thing you have to understand. And of course, that fat was put around your organs for reasons that I cited. So we've got an issue here then. We've got an issue whereby the poisons that go into your body that are on your way to your cells are stored not just by your cell, but in the fat around the cell. So where the cell in the organ might take the fat, and then after it takes the fat, it may divert a percentage of it to the cell. What we've got now evolving is as the fat reserve around the organ builds, you can build a permanent cesspool of garbage around your cell. We've taken an evolutionary advantage and we've demoted it. We've degraded it into an evolutionary liability. Basically, I'll just use this as an example. Don't be offended. If you live by the Long Beach port, basically, the garbage in that port inhaled each day is increasing and sustaining the concentration of garbage. You could fit the whole Long Beach port into the fat around your organs. Now, I'm exaggerating, but that's the point. We have a toxic reserve site. It's not just it comes in and it does its damage and then it leaves. Its evolution has given us a place to put it, and I'm not talking about the subcutaneous fat. That's amazing. instead of that fat doing us good, that fat does it bad. And it gets worse. But don't get depressed. There are answers, as always. Answers that include a little bit of supplementation, but a lot of common sense, good hard work. And so important is an understanding, as always. Go to this picture. Go to picture number 14. Now look at this little article here. Don't you just love these things? Picture number 14. Enlarge it if you need to. British Journal of Pharmacology research paper. Reintoxication. The release of fat-stored THC. THC, tetrahydrocannabinol, is, of course, the active component in marijuana. Not that any of us would know anything about that, but those people that do, well, those people that don't understand, we're using this drug as an example. What about the Prozac you're on? Or what about the food that you just ate? Or what about the xenoestrogen that you inhaled? What about the toxic meat that you had? What about the cheese from Pizza Hut? So understand, this is just an example, but it's an interesting example. You know, we like to study drugs because they have more social impact, so money gets funded to this kind of research, but you could replace THC with anything, nail polish, any lipophilic poison. Lipophilic means you can mix it into your fat. So take oil, put it in a glass, and try to mix in water, and they don't mix. Then try to mix in an egg, and they do mix. Try to mix in alcohol, it mixes a little bit better than water. So all these poisons are variably lipophilic, variably fat soluble. You got to get that one. Look at this. The release of fat stored THC into blood is enhanced by food deprivation. I don't even want to get into that part of it. Enhanced by food deprivation. That's so exciting. Doesn't that make your Saturday? It does to me, because I understand it. I want to give that to you. Not really the issue with the show. What this is showing you is pot stores in your fat. Well, what the show's not really about is when you fast, you can get to the places where that fat is stored. But it's complicated. We'll get into that a little bit later. You can find dozens of articles like this. Dozens. You can replace the THC with every single poison you just saw in that last article. Chemical toxins in your fat, that list of those poisons I just showed you that we put on the show last week. Replace that. Replace any of those in picture number 7. Replace any of those with THC. It's the same thing. So you get the setup then. The point is, where are those poisons storing? Well, subcutaneous, yes, but visceral many times over. That's a big one. Now, what are we going to do with that statement? Well, we're going to understand a few things. First, we're going to understand sort of the general picture with fat. Fat hits the cell. Fat hits the body. And it's stored in fat cells. Now, go to picture number 2 to understand one of the little issues we have here. You eat fat, that's picture number 2. And those fat cells, which are going to start to store, they're going to start to send, whether you're eating a lot of sugar or too much fat, as everything sugar converted to fat or fat going straight to fat cells, once this process occurs to a point to critical mass, your body has built in turn off the appetite mechanisms. One of those built in turn off the appetite mechanisms revolves around the word leptin. So you're looking at picture number 2, I believe, right? Leptin is a chemical produced by your fat cells that will cross the blood-brain barrier and shut off your appetite. It'll tell you, hey, you're starting to make too much fat. Don't eat. It's so simple. But you see, there is a catch that comes with it, and usually this catch is around the carbohydrate. anyone that's listened to the show before knows how much I harp on that. Here's another reason to harp on it. As long as that blood sugar's running high regularly, rest assured your leptin centers in the brain are turned off. You become what we call leptin resistant as your insulin is spiking, and then you become insulin resistant, so you have to produce more insulin, and this rotten cycle between leptin, insulin blocking leptin, sugars causing insulin resistance, or carbs causing insulin resistance, more insulin being produced, more leptin resistance occurring, and all you do is get fat. And nothing turns your appetite off. This isn't the main point of the show, but it's showing you this fat. Fat is a living organism. You can't understand fat as just, well, that big yellow blob on your belly. Don't see it like that. Fat is a living, thinking animal. Fat is an endocrine center. Fat is a toxic storage site. Fat is to be reckoned with, but not as just some inanimate object like a lot of styrofoam or fat is got many facets to it. So what happens? The fat grows, the leptin resistance increases, and the macrophages, those are the immune system cells that play patrol. The macrophages circulating in and around your fat cells eyeball the process, and something doesn't strike them correct. Well, one thing that doesn't strike them correct in regard to visceral fat, so the fat around your heart, the fat around your brain, well, I should say your brain is made of fat. The fat on the inside of your arteries, the fat around your kidney, the fat in the liver, fatty liver, your bone marrow, which is fundamentally white fat. You've got your red and your white bone marrow. Your red bone marrow is where you make your immune system cells. Your white bone marrow is fat. Over time, as you age, the white grows and the red dies. So your bone marrow fibroses out with dirty, toxic, white fat. And you don't make blood anymore. You have no vibrance. There's no plasticity to the bone. There's no power to the punch. Because the red part of the bone marrow is being outbid. It's outcompeted by the white part of the bone marrow. So this growth of visceral fat, including bone marrow fat, is everywhere. And it's increasing the concentrations of those poisons to it. Now, when this hits critical mass, let's do this. Let's have you view a picture of this. Got some great pictures here. Go to picture number 5. Blow up picture number 5. Beautiful picture. Now, take a look there. Those are fat cells. Now, those fat cells are getting plump. And those fat cells are concentrating poisons. I want you to think of this as visceral organ-related fat. And as those are plumping up, they're concentrating the lists of those pesticides, petrochemicals, metals, so on and so forth that I listed on the other pages. And the macrophage is squirming around in between those cells in the intercellular space or the extracellular space, the space outside the cell, in this case, fat cells surrounding organs. So your organ cells are in there, encased in this fat sheath, looking at all of this. And the macrophages are looking at the fat cells and noting or reacting to the concentration of poison building in those visceral fat cells. Now, you know what macrophages do. Given you many talks on the macrophage and its function, it runs around. It looks for problems, metals, anything molecularly that it can sink a tentacle in and begin to eat, dissolve, engulf, phagocytize, lysosome destroy, is the job of the macrophage. And when it gets involved, it starts signaling all its friends, NK cells, lymphocytes, The macrophage is like the cop on the beat. And when it's annoyed, it stimulates a mob scene. And what do you call that? You know what you call that. We call that inflammation, the beginning of the inflammatory process. So if you look at that picture and just imagine that macrophage there, all that brown stuff, it looks like a web, right? Looks like a spider web. That's fibrin. That's fibrin around the fat cell being stimulated by the macrophage attacking the poison in the visceral fat. And what does that mean? It means the production of the cytokine. The cytokine is produced by the macrophage in response to the attack. And what does the cytokine do? It's a what we call a pro-inflammatory chemical that intercepts. It gets involved with your insulin receptors. And what does that do? It makes the problem 50 times worse. So if you go to picture number... Here's a little pause. If you go to picture number... There you go. That's picture number 18. Excuse me, picture number 19. Go to picture number 19. Polychlorinated biphenyl 77 induces adipocyte differentiation and pro-inflammatory adipokines. Adipokines are cytokines that are pro-inflammatory. That in this case, they're saying are produced in response to this chemical, but this chemical is being attacked by the macrophage. The adipocyte, meaning the fat cell, the visceral fat cell, is sucking in polychlorinated biphenyl 77, biphenyl, phenyl as in a benzene ring. That's a lipophilic chemical. It mixes into the fat. And the macrophage sees it. The macrophage attacks the fat cell. Because it's annoyed by the presence of the chemical, because the chemical's not supposed to be there. This didn't occur when we were cavemen. It didn't occur in the Garden of Eden. It didn't occur 5,000 years ago. It occurs unbridled, uncensored today. And it produces this adipokine. That adipokine is a cytokine. And what does that cytokine do? That cytokine goes to your insulin receptors. The cytokine goes to the insulin receptors. The insulin receptors then are competed with. Once the insulin receptor is competed with, you have an extra problem now. You have a situation whereby when you want to eat your sugar and your insulin wants to bind to the insulin receptor of the cell, so the sugar cannot go too high in the blood but get into the cell, you've got the cytokine sitting there where the insulin was supposed to bind. And that cytokine sitting there where the insulin was supposed to bind, that cytokine blocks insulin. Go to picture number 12. It's actually not a picture. It's a square. Excuse me, square number 16. Go to square number 16. Go to square number 16. These are all free articles on the web. You can plug these in, read the whole article yourself. Don't worry if you don't understand everything. Just get the drift of it. You're not hearing this. You ought to be hearing this. You ought to understand what fat does. That's bad. Great. You know what? That doesn't cut it. Fat kills. It doesn't cut it. It's not good to be fat. We know it. When you can dance with it, when you can feel it, when you can live the process, then you can take something powerful to solutions. We're going to get to the solution part. I'll even hint at the punchline now. Guess what? Your body wants the concentration of Long Beach Port, Torrance, all of California, most of America, every industrialized city in the world. Once the concentration of poison hits critical mass, your body will not let you burn out the visceral fat. It's stubborn. And there's some curveballs around that, too. This is being missed. It's definitely being missed. Why? Well, I'll show you another article. You can be moderately, I mean, you can be 20 pounds. Nobody gets worried about an extra 20, pinch an inch. Nobody worries about that. Those kinds of people, especially a certain group of those, I'm leading you. I'm not giving you the best part yet. Those are the people that get a lot of visceral fat. And they're deceptive because they only have an inch or two to pinch. Believe me, your Eskimos and your sumo wrestlers are way ahead. There's a reason the Eskimos never got heart disease with all that blubber on them. There's a reason. Remind me to get back to that reason. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health, scanning the web, the globe, every textbook known to mankind, to find stuff that's right in front of our face, but we're not taking a look at. StraightTalk.cc, get to the website. Tomorrow, I've got two, maybe three spots. This is my third talk I did, my third seminar on stem cells. The stem cells that are in your body already. The stem cells that if you can get the big picture, which you're not being given, you're not having the pieces put together for you. But if you can get that, you can understand, you can regenerate your own tissues. That many of the diagnoses, the illnesses, the chronic diseases you suffer from, your body has engineered ways that are already intact to get you on the other side. So we've done this two times in the last couple of weeks. I've got one more. I'm skipping it after this. No more on stem cells. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Call. Talk to the office staff. Get the insight. Come tomorrow. I've got three more people, serious people. Now look at this picture. Look at this square. Again, picture number 16. Go to picture number 16. Look at that square. Look at what that says. Let's just break that down for a second. Suppressor of cytokine signaling causes insulin resistance through inhibition of tyrosine phosphorylation of insulin receptor substrate proteins by discrete mechanisms. Suppressor of cytokine signaling, meaning a cytokine is signaled by the macrophage hitting the fat cell. And that cytokine signal, creating a cytokine, causes insulin resistance through this inhibition of tyrosine 5-phosphorylation. And so the insulin receptor doesn't work. Now, what does that mean? Again, this is all part of what's going on in your fat. Again, it's an endocrine organ. It's a thinking animal. It's not just a blob of goo. It's its own organ system. It's alive. It's thinking. You have to understand it, feel it, talk to it, or you're never going to get rid of it. You're going to sit there and you go, but I do everything right. I just don't understand. That's what you're going to do. I know you do that. I hear you do it every single week. You think you're going to burn out toxic, dirty, cesspoolish, visceral fat? You think your brain's going to let you do that? Okay, it's time. The first two people that come in. The first two people, let me be specific. You have to do this through the website. Tell me the single most important act. The single most important thing you can do to make sure that your visceral fat gets rid of its poisons. What's the single most important thing you can do to make sure your visceral fat gets rid of his poisons, without which you have no shot. It's two words. And I will give you, compliments of the show, 6 bottles of Adrenaven, which you're definitely going to need after you digest this lecture today. 6 bottles of Adrenaven. Now, that's a good gift. The first 2 people that email, do not call the phone. It's the computer age. Learn to use the computers. There is no excuse. And tell me the single most important thing, 2 words, to make sure that you can dissolve the cesspool of filth in the brown fat encasing the organism before you get gross amounts of insulin resistance. And what happens when you get that insulin resistance? What happens when you get the insulin resistance? Your body has to make more insulin. So there is a dirty, nasty, stinky process here that we call the buildup of visceral fat. Basically, you're talking about, if you go to the picture again, and I'm going to have you go to a different picture, go to picture number 5 again. Picture number 5. All that fibrin, all that spider web has encased those fat cells, which is encasing your organs. Your organ is wrapped in a sheath of toxic visceral fat. Wrapped in a sheath. Wrapped by what? The fibrin. The fibrin is choking out the organ. And of course, as you fast, as you try to lose weight, even if you do lose that visceral fat, yeah, and some people are going to tell you the visceral fat burns faster than the subcutaneous fat. They didn't do enough research. And what they overlooked is that although the visceral fat will burn, if the level of toxicity, which it usually does, gets too high, and you cannot remove the visceral fat from the body after you dissolve it, your brain will not let it happen. It's a little catch there. So for lots of people, and that's if they're even trying, suppose they're sedentary, suppose in fact they're not overweight, and they've got a lot of that visceral fat, that organ fat, and they don't even know they need to lose it because they're looking at the inch or two and going, relative to everyone else in the neighborhood, I'm pretty good. And what does that mean? It means you've basically insulated yourself in a cesspool. Now, those cells, when you begin to try to get healthy, let's just say you do dissolve some of that visceral fat. Where do those poisons go? You know what they do? They go right into your cells. The fat is storing the poison so the poison doesn't get to the cell. This is complicated. This is fascinating. The fat around the organ. Okay, back to caveman days. Fat around the organ keeps the organ warm in times of starvation, feeds the organ in times of starvation. Let's shift to the Long Beach port. Or let's shift to the streets of Manhattan. Or let's shift to any major city in the world. The poisons build up in the visceral fat, and they leak low grade. Until what? Until that fat guy decides to lose some of that fat. And as the visceral fat dissolved, or that guy that's not too fat just decides to get, in his own mind, in high school shape again, college athlete shape again, and you start burning out that visceral fat. What's the first hit? The first hit is the organ encased in the visceral fat. Because it's going to get picked up via the capillary beds. And all the capillary beds anastomize. So it just may well end up at a higher concentration pulsing through the organ. It will inflame the dickens out of the organ that it's encased by. And everybody says, oh, that visceral fat just burns so fast. Are you kidding me? Studies show the visceral fat will burn faster than subcutaneous fat, so don't worry about it. Wow. This is where you've got to have some basic understanding of the way the body thinks to understand the difference between nonsense on a website and what an understanding is. That visceral fat, your body won't even let it burn. It's dangerous. This is one of the reasons is you lose weight. Those of you who have been through that process, pockets along the way, you hit these moments where you're having flashbacks. I showed you that article on THC. That guy with THC stored in his visceral fat, or LSD, which is another lipophilic, or ecstasy. Ecstasy's all up and down the nerve spinal cord. Pot, ecstasy, lysergic acid. No, not cocaine. Some of the other things are not lipophilic, but tons of poisons are lipophilic. Lots of drugs are lipophilic. They release along the way. Yes, even during body work, I've known musicians to have flashbacks to the 60s. Literally. I've literally seen, excuse me, people on massage tables have flashbacks years ago. They get up, their heads are spinning, and all of a sudden, the house across the street is talking to them in the middle of a massage session. Because you're pushing this junk out of what's in either the visceral or subcutaneous fat. You're pushing it into the blood. That's what that article on THC is effectively saying. So this has a lot of nuances to it. It poses an issue. It's a real issue. Once things run amok, it's negative potentiation. It's multiple negative factors shaking hands with each other, thanking the devil for creating a complicated system that you're going to need to worm your way out of if you can get out of it at all. And yet, if you can navigate yourself to your high intelligence, there's ways. We're going to define some of those ways. But you have to have attitude, right attitude. And that's what we miss, because we're too convinced that all it takes is some coffee bean extract and we'll burn it all out. I mean, we're on another planet here. It's not Earth. Okay, a word about another fat, brown fat. Brown fat, there's regular subcutaneous fat. Go to picture number 20. Picture number 20, it's called bat cell fat. Picture number 20, brown fat. Brown fat derives embryologically from your mesoderm, from your muscular system, muscles, bones, ligaments, tendons. Brown fat. There is subcutaneous fat, there's visceral fat, and then there's brown fat. People have different amounts of brown fat. You have more brown fat as a kid. I'm sure we had more brown fat in the Garden of Eden. Brown fat is mystery fat. There's a great story that I think it's Norman Rubin or Norman Rubinstein. I can't remember his name. He was an MD years ago that wrote a bunch of books. I think he wrote everything you wanted to know about sex but was afraid to ask. He wrote books with that type of title, Norman Somebody. Went up there, took his cash, went up there to the Himalayas, way up there at about 14,000, 15,000 feet, as high as those monks up there will live, and took film crews to film monks going out into, like, you know, 10-degree temperatures, 0-degree temperatures, freezing, shivering, life-threatening temperatures, in their loincloths, just sitting there in the middle of cold winter, which it always is at that altitude. And they take a wet sheet, a white sheet soaked in water, and threw it on the monk's back, which should make the monk a lot colder, because humidity will transmit the cold right into the bone of the monk, right? Wet cold is much colder than dry cold. and the monks would start to meditate. And Norman would sit there with his film crew, and all of a sudden, steam would start to come up through the sheets. Steam. The monk was in an altered state, and within a half an hour, the sheet was dry, and the monk was warm. Those monks do exist. Those capacities do exist. Those abilities do exist. They're not magical. They're not metaphysical. But they are a product of serious training. And what those monks were doing is burning their brown fat. Brown fat burns fat. When you activate brown fat, you burn fat. And fat is thermogenic. Per gram, you get 9 calories. So if you want to build some heat in your body, dissolve some fat. That's the ticket. Now, the subcutaneous fat, the visceral fat, doesn't burn as fast as brown fat. And brown fat's in all of us. Getting to brown fat, that's another show. It's a different story. Again, it's like that pineal gland. It's like you can activate your quiescent stem cells. It's like that brown fat is there. Do you guys get the picture? Stop precipitating soluble poisons into granulation, into crystals, which will deposit in your bodies. Understand that before you're sick and diseased, your cells, common to every disease known to man, all your cells shake hands with each other on their way to the different diseases that your genes are coded for. And why aren't we looking there? There are all these marvels, all these mechanisms that God put in the cell, in the body, that you're not being told about. Do not think that is not a, at least partly, deliberate process. Understand that there is a purpose to this. And yet you have the solutions. Reach a little deeper with these shows. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. For as long as I'm on air, you're going to get straight talk, the deeper stuff. I don't have tensions with people. I simply just have to get under their skin to get them to take enough time to make an informed choice about their health. You are welcome to deteriorate. You're welcome to say, I'm just at this point in my life where I can't look at this stuff and do anything about it. That is understood. Give yourself a break in those phases in your life where you just can't do more. But understand the consequences. And that's the point of the show, the education. Subcutaneous fat, visceral fat, brown fat. And we've got enough time to tell you how to wrap your mind around what you want to do about it. Let's just stroll through some of these pictures, though. They're so fascinating. Let's just take a look here. Picture number 11. I love this picture. There they are, the sumo. Look at that sumo. Look at the size of that guy. That's incredible. And those guys are very flexible, you know. You ever see them on their butts with their legs spread and they're flat on the floor? Those adductors stretch out. Do you know something? Like the Eskimo, the sumo wrestler, because of the physical activity, the sumo wrestler will have less organ fat than a lot of slender people. Now that one blows your mind. That one blows your mind. That print is off a website that's actually claiming that. Look at that picture up, not that picture, the article up top. Up top the articles now. Not the square. Thin people can be fat on the inside. Look at this. If you just click that link, it's going to take you right to the article. So do that. Just do that for a second. Go up to the top. Click to view the few article on thin people can be fat on the inside. Just look at this. Thin people can be fat on the inside. It's out there. It ought to be focused on. Look at this. Being thin doesn't automatically mean you're not fat, says Dr. Jimmy Bell, a professor of molecular imaging at Imperial College London. This should be on the cover of Time magazine. This is what doctors should be talking to you about. This is riveting. Since 94, Bell and his team have scanned nearly 800 people with MRIs. MRIs are non-toxic. That's not radiation. An MRI does not use radiation, so don't get uptight about that one. MRI machines to create fat maps showing where people store fat. According to the data, people who maintain their weight through diet rather than exercise are likely to have major deposits of internal fat, even if they are otherwise slim. That blows my mind. If you understand that, combined with what I've told you in the last 45 minutes, that should blow your mind. That is astounding to me. I'm sure it's astounding to Dr. Bell. The whole concept of being fat needs to be redefined, said Bell, whose research is funded by Britain's Medical Research Council. Yeah, you got to go all over the world, the data. We just might not be getting funding in America for the real stuff. I mean, what does this really mean to anyone that wants to make money off it? It doesn't mean anything. So what? Unless we can patent a drug that'll burn out your visceral fat, even if you're sedentary, there's no money to be made. So why fund it? Fund something good that we can all get rich on. It really does work that way. That's where we're really hurting ourselves. The NIH doesn't fund things like this. Japan does. Obviously, Britain will shell out a few dollars. So you got to go everywhere. Some of the best stuff is outside the United States. The whole concept of being fat needs to be redefined. I think this guy off his life choices, professor of molecular imaging at Imperial College London, and since 94, that's 20 years of doing this. Without a clear warning signal, doctors worry that thin people may be lulled into falsely assuming they're not, because they're not overweight, they're not healthy. Just because someone is lean doesn't make them immune to diabetes or other risk factors for heart disease. Isn't that what your cardiologists are always saying? Isn't that what they're always saying? Aren't they always saying that, gee, at least half the heart attacks each year are people who aren't fat, amidst fat is what causes it? Now, if you put those two things together, they're both right and they're both wrong. Fat is what's causing it, but it doesn't mean that you're necessarily fat, because the fat is visceral fat. It's the fat around the heart. It's the fat on the inside of the arteries, and you don't have to be obese to have it. And so they do these scans. The MRI scan provides a detailed look at where fat is stored internally, and you can see. Astounding to me. Did you get the answer? I'm not going to give you the answer. Wait, maybe I should. I'll give you the answer at the end. All right. Number one, what are you going to do about it? What's your move? What's your concept? Number one, Banya, hot, cold. Because for you to talk to your visceral fat, you've got to engage in pumping mechanisms. Exercise is a pumping mechanism. That's why thin people that are sedentary are no better off than extremely obese people who move their body like sumo wrestlers and Eskimos. You have to pump that space. That's why if you're sick and you're diseased and you can't pump your body like an Eskimo or a sumo wrestler, well, you've got to get into Banya. Banya. Look that stuff up. It's on all my shows. And no, not that little infrared sauna you bought. I'm talking about Banya. Stones heated. with internal temperatures of 180 to 220, 230 degrees. City Spa on Pico in Venice. The iSpa down here in Costa Mesa, Irvine. The Voda Spa in Hollywood on Santa Monica between Fairfax and La Brea. They're all over the country. They're in Manhattan. They're in Seattle. They're everywhere. You can build one. You're going to retire, take an extra 10 grand and build it. Do it. Get into hot, hot, and cold, cold. Dry brush that skin. Why? Because it'll create a pumping mechanism through the visceral fat. Yes, reduce your weight. Of course, you've got to reduce your weight. But if you're sedentary, if you're stiff, if you're not perfusing your organ systems, even if you don't have fat on your body, have you been peeled to where the muscle hits the bone? Have your organs been mobilized to the point where the encasing of fibrin-dense fat sacs around your organs, poisoning them short and long term, have they been penetrated through the poses of yoga? Have they been perfused and drained through hot-cold therapies? Have they been peeled and pulled and separated through skilled hands into your organ systems, a la anyone that understands how to do any real form of manipulative therapy? I don't care what it is, from Baral's visceral release as an osteopath to Rolf's Rolfing to Heller's Hellering to the yogas to some homespun version of your own. Has somebody gotten into those organ systems, lifted them, separated, twisted them, pulled them, and peeled them? And what are you deluding yourself into thinking you're going to move to second base unless you've done this? This is exciting. Absolutely exciting. Visceral fat. When was the last time you did a physical exam at Kaiser and they MRI'd you under your health care program to show you that even though you're slender, your visceral fat, because you're extremely sedentary, is profound? They don't even read this stuff. And it's there out on the web, published by guys like Dr. Bell, who spend 10 or 15 or 20 years accumulating the data. Who's thinking? I hope you win the prize. I hope you said biliary patency. I hope you said gallbladder flush. I hope you got to that. I hope you understand that when you do an enema, if you don't see a perfusion of bile, go to picture number one. Yes, it's there once again. Picture number one. Is that what your toilet bowl looks like after a coffee enema? I didn't say a gallbladder flush. I said a coffee enema. Are you doing coffee enemas, and is that what your toilet looks like? Because if it doesn't, you are not there yet. You can't find the hole to stick it in. It hurts. You can't hold it. It goes in, but it doesn't come out. So you can't hold it, but it doesn't come out. It gives you a headache. It does this. It does that. Have you navigated a relationship with the coffee enema? Get online. Look it up. Don't call my office. Get online. Look it up. Do it. See the bile come out. Learn the process. Because you will not dissolve your visceral fat. If you've had your gallbladder cut out, I'm sorry to hear that. You're going to need to work harder. That organ is there to pull bile out. I didn't want to do this today, but I was going to throw an article on. I think maybe in the future. I just have the article. Great article. Stating how the bile flow determines your cholesterol level. I mean, we talk about this all the time, but it just doesn't seem to sink in. If that's you after a coffee enema, you will not have high cholesterol. What are we doing the statin drugs for when we have coffee enemas? A coffee enema costs you $1 and does 10,000 things in your body critical to move your health ball. But they tell you not to do those. They tell you those are nonsense. It's in the literature. And you can see people fail at them and then succeed at them and read testimony. Gerson used it. Kelly used it. There isn't an argument. There isn't a thing that you can say to intelligently disagree with the coffee enema. But we're not going to do that one. If you do, you've taken the first single most important step to melting your visceral fat. If you add that to Banya therapy, hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold, you've done the second thing. If you're reducing your insulin, you've done the third thing. If you're exercising and dropping weight, you've done the fourth and the fifth thing. If you're stretching, you've done the sixth thing. If you're fasting at a certain point, you've done the seventh thing. If you're dry brushing your skin, you've done the eighth thing. Gee, losing, getting your health, getting rid of your diseases is so costly. Holistically speaking, it'll cost you thousands. Not if you master these things. You want to do the fancy herbs to speed it up? Because you can do it. Herbs are good. They add a little high-octane fuel to the process. That's what herbs do. They add high-octane fuel to the process. They never replace fundamentals. I just listed the fundamentals over so critical an issue. Visceral fat. And if you're really good to yourself, you'll start to dissolve the fat in the brain, the fat in the bone marrow. You've got to bring in a substantial amount of raw fat to do that. The good fats, the omega-3 fats, the docosahexaenoic fats, the clean, healthy fats, on top of everything I listed. You've got about 9 or 10 different things to do. And if you do them, you'll recreate the Garden of Eden within yourself. You'll pump out your endorphins. You'll please the ventricular system of your brain. And you just might manifest your dream into reality. Ta-da. 714-850-1007. I need 2 to 3 good students. Call. We'll see you next week. God bless.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.